As I said, our theme has been all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful. The Lord God made them all. And on each of the days that we've met together, we've taken one of those verses and we've tried to find something that we can apply to ourselves. And so on Wednesday, we started with creation. And we reminded ourselves that right at the beginning of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then we went on to say, and the wonderful thing is that as you get to the end of chapter 1, it says that we are God's masterpiece. Isn't that fantastic? His masterpiece. And it says this, that you are precious to me and I love you. And that's been the message we've tried to tell to each of our guests this week and to each of us as a team to remember. It doesn't matter how old or how young, we're precious to God and he loves us. And then on Thursday we talked about the purple-headed mountain, the river running by. And David took us on one of his trips to mountains. He loves mountains and he told us about the Mount of Transfiguration and how God on that mountain spoke to the disciples and to Jesus and said, "This is my son. Listen to him." And David reminded us that that's fine, but we also need to be tuned into God. We merely need to make sure that we are listening and then that we learn to obey. On Friday, Paul picked up that third verse, the cold wind in the winter. And he reminded us that there are four seasons. And if you look at our lives, how our lives reflect those different seasons, the springtime and the winter, the summertime and the autumn, the good times and the not so good. And he reminded us that through all of those, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, whatever the circumstances, and they're plans for your good." And yesterday we picked up the last verse, "He gave us eyes to see him and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty who has made all things well." And we thought about the responsibility we have to tell others. And we thought a little bit about Sat7 and the amazing work that that's doing in the Middle East and North Africa in making God's love known. Adrian prayed for Syria and we talked about that. I find it so difficult to pray for Syria. I really don't know what to pray. We see the situation in Syria, in Egypt, in Iraq, in Iran. And all I can pray is that, "Lord, your will be done. Please bring peace." But what's amazing, you know, is that through that, Sat7 is bringing hope to those people. And do you remember we talked about the story, oh dear, the story of Saeed, a young boy of 12 who had a dream about God. And through Sat7 he came to know him. And Sat7 sent him a St. John's Gospel and he found those lovely words, "In the beginning, the Word. In the beginning was the Word and the Word was God." And Saeed knew that that was the God he wanted to follow. And then he found those words in 3:16. "For God so loved me that he gave his only Son. And whoever believes in him shall have eternal life." What a fantastic promise. Is it any wonder that we've had such a great week this week? We're going to sing another song now, but before I do, I just want to give you a message from Terry. Terry Ascott, the founder and chief executive of Sat7, sent me a note on Monday to say he was going into hospital because he had to have a heart operation. And he went in on Wednesday evening. And I was then sent a lovely picture of him lying in bed and he smiling. That came in late Wednesday evening. And this morning I sent him a text to say, "Terry, I hope you're feeling well and you're learning to rest." He told me he was going to have 2 days off. But this is what he said, and he asked me if I would pass this on to you. He said, "Thank you for your message. I'm feeling better by the day and physically resting." A couple of exclamation marks there. He doesn't know what it means. But he says, "Love and thanks to all at Crofton for their prayers. So thank you for Terry. A message from him this morning. Thank you very much. And we're going to sing that lovely song now. Faithful One, So Unchanging, Angelus One, You're My Rock of Peace. We're going to sing it through twice, and then we're going to go on and sing another song. And it's all about you. And it says, I'm special. And why am I special? Because God has loved me. As we sing these songs, we're going to take the offering. And please, don't feel that you have to put anything in. This is for the members of Crofton. Just pass it by, and that will be lovely. But for those who want to, the bags will come through. Thank you very much.
we're now going to have this morning's reading. It's Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 6, and it's on page 1209 in the Church Bibles, if you'd like to flick there. It's amazing how technical a lectern can get nowadays. I've got controls, I've got an iPad. There's barely room for me to put my Bible down.
Sorry.
That's quite all right. I'm just stalling for time while we're thumbing through. Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you'd like to put your Bibles aside for a moment, we're now going to have a time of prayer. I thought it would be good this morning for us to be able to spend a bit of time just in quiet with God, a time to be still before God, a time to talk to him. And I'm going to lead us through an ACTS prayer. So we'll be going through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication, or asking, for those who, like me, had to look up what supplication means. I'm going to start each section off with a verse or a couple of verses from the Bible. And then there'll be a period of silence for us to be able to respond in our hearts. So, adoration, reading from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Spend a few moments in praise, maybe reflecting on some of the words of the songs that we've heard this morning. And now turning to confession, reading from 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So let's spend some time now saying sorry to God and asking him to strengthen us and give us resolve against sin. And now to thanksgiving, reading from Ephesians 5. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got so much to be thankful for in our lives, so let's spend a few moments giving thanks to God. Now, Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. We're asked to come to God with all kinds of prayers and requests. So, now in the quietness, spend some time talking to God. We're telling him the prayers and the requests that are on your heart. Lord, we sang earlier, our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. And I thank you so much that you delight when your children come before you and they open their hearts to you and they pray. And so, Lord, I pray that you will take all the prayers that have been uttered in the silence here this morning, and that you will be pleased with them, and that you will answer them according to your will and in your time. For I pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Phil. It's lovely sometimes, isn't it, just to be able to sit and be quiet before God. Remember that lovely song, "Be still and know that I am God." So thank you, Phil, for that opportunity to do that and just to bring our prayers and thanks and supplications before him. We're going to sing another old favourite hymn. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand." Please be seated. You know, one of the great privileges of being at the front is that you really hear the singing, and you are in good voice today. And I'm sure that the Crofton Youth Singers are in good voice. I'm so grateful to you ladies for coming along to sing to us. And they're going to come and sing "The Lord's My Shepherd" to the... Well, what have you changed it for? John Rutter's version of "All Things Bright and Beautiful." That shocked you girls, didn't it? Up you come. I'm getting older, you know, and we have senior moments, us older people. Thank you. Thank you, girls. That was beautiful and much better than The Lord's My Shepherd. You did really, really well. As you've heard, our theme this week has been All Things Bright and Beautiful. And we've been thinking about this wonderful creation and how God made us in his image. I love this verse that we've talked about ourselves, haven't we? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where it says, God said, we will make people in our image. The reminder, of course, that right at the beginning, Jesus was there. Jesus was there with God. We will make people in our image, to be like ourselves. And then, when you get to verse 36, he says these lovely words. Then God looked over all he had made, and it was excellent in every way. And I challenged our guests to say, you know, can you say that without smiling? I really believe that when God had finished creation and he'd made us his masterpiece, as we're told in Ephesians, and God saw that it was excellent in every way, he smiled because he was pleased, very pleased with what he'd made. But the sad thing is, you know, and you all know this, is you only have to go forward a few verses and we find that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. God said they could have anything in the garden they wanted. Take, eat, enjoy, except for that one tree. That tree of knowledge. Just leave that alone. And we read, don't we, of how Eve was tempted by the serpent and she took the apple and it was delicious. And from then on, man and God have been separated. Because God can have nothing to do with sin, you see. God is perfect. God is all perfect, and any sin is just a no-no area. It's a bit like that glass of water I keep sipping. If I just put one little drop, oh, it's gone. If I just put one little drop of ink from my fountain pen in there, it would be spoiled. It would be no good. And that's what's happened to us, you see. That sin has spoilt us and separated us from God. But as we've heard this week in Holiday at Home, and we all know that perhaps the most famous verse in the New Testament is that one from John 3:16. And today I'm using the Good News Bible. It's a bit tattered, but that's because it's well used, girls. And this is what it said. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its saviour. You see, that's the fantastic thing, isn't it? That although God made us and we were his masterpiece, and we then spoilt it by sinning, that doesn't mean that he stopped loving us. God has loved us, as we sang in that lovely song from Joe. He loved us before we were even born. And he has loved us throughout our lives. But the sad thing is that sin does separate us from God. In the book of Romans we read this. For sin pays its wage, and that wage is death. But God's free gift is eternal life in union with Jesus Christ our Lord. So he didn't just cast us away and forget us. But we said, I love these people. I love you so much that I'm going to give you Jesus. As we sang in that song, I am special. Why am I special? Because God gave the best thing that he had to save me, to save you. And if you read a couple of more chapters on in Romans, it says this. If we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. Now, if I asked you to define what faith is, I wonder what you would say. I find it a very difficult word, so I actually went to my dictionary. And in the dictionary I looked up, and it's not a particularly big one, but the dictionary used these words and it said, faith is total trust. Faith is complete trust. I just want you to remember that as I tell you a story. And it's a true story. It's a true story about a lady who trained as a doctor and felt that God wanted her to go to the Congo. And she was out in the Congo between 1953 and 1973. So it's happened about 50 years ago. And her name was Helen. And Helen was a doctor serving God in the Congo. And one day she tells us that she had delivered a baby. The baby was premature, and unfortunately Mum died. The baby survived, and that was wonderful. And the baby had an older sister who was just 2 years old. But Dr. Helen was very concerned about this baby, so she said to one of the student midwives, "Oh, go and see if you can get the incubator." Now, the incubator wasn't like the one that my Lizzie was put in when she was born. Their incubator was just a cardboard box full of cotton wool, because they didn't have electricity, so they had a cardboard box full of cotton wool, and then they would put a hot water bottle in it to keep the baby warm. So one of the student nurses went off to get the cardboard box, the incubator, filled with cotton wool, and another one went to get the kettle on the fire to boil up the water and to fill the hot water bottle. And when she started to pour the water in, oh no, the hot water bottle had perished, and the water just came out the bottom. What could she do? She ran and said to Dr. Helen, "Dr. Helen, I'm sorry, the hot water bottle's gone and we haven't got a spare. What can we do?" Not like us living here in Alpington, where she could just go down to the shops and get another one almost 24 hours a day, couldn't she? There were no shops there. And although this is a bright and beautiful world, girls, there are no hot water bottles that grow on trees, are there? So they were stuck. So Dr. Helen said, "Well, what we need to do is to build up the fire, make it as big as we can. We'll put the baby in front of the fire," and she said to one of the nurses, "and your job is to sleep there in front of the door to make sure that no draft and no cold gets through to the baby. Because although the Congo is on the equator and it's very, very hot during the day, at night it can get very, very cold." And so that's what happened. And the next morning, the first thing that Dr. Helen did was to go and check that the little baby was okay, and she was. And then she did her rounds, and she did as she did most mornings. She then went to the orphanage, and she went to the children there, and they just talked together, and they would always have a time of prayer. And Dr. Helen said to them today, "Girls, I always tell you things that we can pray about, and today I want to tell you about what happened yesterday. A mummy had a baby, and the baby was born very early, so we had to put it in one of our incubators, but the hot water bottle burst. And we really got to keep this baby warm. And sadly, the mummy died. And she had a little girl of two. So that little girl of two is really very sad. I'd like you to pray for her." And then one of the girls, and she was 10, and called Ruth. Have we got a Ruth age 10? No. Anybody 10? No, it doesn't matter. Little Ruth, 10. She prayed, and this is what she prayed. She prayed, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle. It's no good sending it tomorrow because the baby will be dead. It's got to come today. And God, while you're about it, send a dolly, because that baby's older sister needs to know that you love her." Dr. Helen says she was shocked. "How on earth can I say amen to that?" she thought. "God can't do that sort of thing." Well, the Bible says he can, but do I really believe it? Can I really believe that God could do that? Later on that afternoon, Dr. Helen was in the classroom, and she was teaching, and one of the men came and said, "Dr. Helen, there's a car at your bungalow. You need to go and see someone." And so Dr. Helen gave her apologies, and she went to her bungalow, and there, on the veranda, she could see a box. The car had gone, but there was a box there. And Dr. Helen says, "As I saw that box, I started to feel little tears in my eyes." And she said, "I can't do this on my own." So she sent for the girls from the orphanage, and they came, and together they knelt down on the orphanage, on the veranda floor, and opened the box very, very carefully, because everything was precious. They tried to untie the string, they unwrapped the paper, and they opened the box, and there, right on the top, were some beautiful brightly coloured cardigans for the girls. And they thought that was wonderful. Great, we've got some new cardigans. And then they saw some bandages. Well, we're not interested in the bandages. They were for the leprosy people. They're not much good to us. But they saw then there were some currants and raisins and sultanas. And Dr. Helen said, oh, they're lovely. We can use those to make some cakes. And then Dr. Helen says that she put her hand down. And as she put her hand down, she felt something. He said, oh, it can't be. Surely not. It can't be. And she pulled it out. And it was a hot water bottle. And Dr. Helen said, I didn't even pray for it. I didn't believe that God could do this. But Ruth, remember Ruth who prayed the prayer? Ruth was sitting just at the side. And Ruth immediately pushed everybody away. And she said, if God sent that hot water bottle, he sent a baby too. He sent her a dolly. And she went rummaging in the box. And at the bottom of the box was a beautifully dressed dolly. And I promise you that's true. If you don't believe me, go on the internet, look under Dr. Helen Rosevere, a lady who's still alive today, and she says that's true. Do you know what? That parcel took 5 months to get from that Sunday school class out to the Congo. Dr. Helen, in her 4 years in the Congo, had never once had a parcel. And that parcel that was packed 5 months before arrived on the day it was needed. Do you remember we talked yesterday about what I called God's instances? That Sunday school teacher, 5 months before, had heard God say, Dr. Helen has gone out to Africa. Why don't you make her a box and send it out? What on earth made her put in a hot water bottle for somebody living on the equator? But she did. And one of the little girls in that class brought along a dolly to send out. There's a lovely, lovely verse in Isaiah. And this is what it says. Isaiah 65. And it says this. It says, even before they finish praying to me, I will answer their prayers. Our God is a great big God. There's nothing he can't do. But I just want to think again about that word, faith. Jesus said, unless you have faith like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes we almost get too sophisticated, too clever, don't we? Urs and I are privileged to have some grandchildren. And I don't think there's anything more wonderful. And little Iona puts up her hand and just wants me to take her down the garden or to help her climb some stairs. It's total confidence, isn't it? It's a little bit more scary when she's standing on the table and she just says, catch me! But when she does it, she knows that I will. She's got total confidence that I will do what she wants. And I want to ask you this morning, really, do you have that confidence in God? In Jeremiah, God says this, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Nothing is too difficult for me. Do you believe that? Dr. Helen knew it in her head, but did she really believe it? She says she didn't. And I just want to challenge you this morning to really think about it. We thought about those lovely words, haven't we, that I shared with you of Philip Yancey. There is nothing I can do that will make God love me anymore. Nothing I can do that will make God love me any less. And I want to say to you this morning, there's also nothing you can do that God does not want to forgive. No matter what you've done, God says, you're precious to me. I love you. I want to spend eternity with you. Let me read the verses that come before that verse in Isaiah. Giles talked about this, and we've talked about it several times during the week. The best is yet to come. And this is what it says in the book of Isaiah, the new creation. It says, the Lord says, I'm making a new earth and new heavens. The events of the past will be completely forgotten. The new Jerusalem I make will be full of joy and her people will be happy. There'll be no weeping there, no calling for help. Babies will live longer and not die in infancy, and all people will live out their lifespan. I will bless them and their descendants for all time. Even before they finish praying to me, I will answer their prayers. Wolves and lambs will eat together. Lions will eat straw, as cattle do. And snakes will no longer be dangerous. On Zion, my sacred hill, there will be nothing harmful or evil. My dear friends, the best is yet to come. And if you know Jesus as your Saviour, as your friend, if you said to him, Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done. Thank you for dying on Calvary for me. And you know what? It's a certainty that you will be going to that wonderful place where there'll be no more tears and no more crying. Forgive me for saying this, but if you this week have reached the stage where you feel you want to do something about that, please talk to somebody. Talk to one of the helpers. Because if you talk to them and they can help you, they too will be blessed as we learn more about Jesus and his fantastic love for us. We are going to sing now, The Lord's My Shepherd. We're going to sing, The Lord's My Shepherd, and I will trust in you alone. And my prayer is that that's what we'll all do. Stop trying to be clever, sophisticated, and trust in the Lord alone. Thank you. Please be seated. I'm just going to say a short benediction and then we're going to go out the back for coffee. Could I ask, please, that the Holiday at Homer's, if you go out the front here and then turn left, we're going to have coffee in the quiet room and the team will be delighted to go and get the coffee and come and serve you. So you sit and make yourself comfortable. And then we're going to have lunch together. There's coffee for everybody. And I was going to say, but I can't invite you all to lunch. But I've had this notice from the kitchen. Now, I hope they know what they're doing. I'm just going to read it to you. There is spare food. So if any of you have not got a lunch and you wish to join us for roast lunch at 12:30, you are very, very welcome. But all of the Holiday Homers, you're definitely going to be there. And then we're going to finish with a concert this afternoon. And for all of us, the prayer of the team at Holiday at Home is this wonderful priestly blessing that the Lord gave to Moses to give to the Israelites. And I want to say this as I just look at you. And I've got a little bookmark that Phil has kindly made for you to take home with it on as well. And this is what it says. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen.